right. Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
To the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast, number 13. Lucky number 13.
Lucky number. That's my favorite number. That's my lucky number.
That's a great number. And today we are talking about
extreme.
Extreme.
Yes, indeed. Extreme stuff. We have some stuff that's related to skiing, as well as things that are not related to skiing. All things extreme. That's us today.
Just like to add, number 13, U.S. Soccer team.
Alex Morgan.
Boom.
Yes, the captain. Yes, the Women's World Cup's going on right now, so check that out after you listen to us, of course. You know how to find us, skibumpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, Twitter, Ski Bum Podcast, or send us an email at skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Today, it's myself, Brian, and Mario. Hello, Mario.
Hello, Brian.
How's it going?
It's going good.
So yeah, we're a little bit late this week. It's been a crazy-ass week for me. Life has gotten in the way of things, but we have persevered, come through, and now we're here doing a Saturday podcast for you guys. We don't take time off. We hustle, we bang, we get shit done.
Yeah, you know, when things come up like that, it makes you realize how important skiing and bumming are in your life.
It's the most important thing, really.
It really is.
Yeah, so we're plowing through this. And yeah, we've got our topic extreme, and we got the weekly flavor.
We do have the weekly flavor.
Do we have a weekly flavor?
I'm thinking, well, we only have a weekly flavor until I hear this. Oh, yeah, see?
That makes it official.
I like the weekly flavor.
Brand new flavor in your ear.
Flavor fave. So
what do you got today?
Today's weekly flavor, I am doing a Centennial IPA.
Oh.
By Founders.
The good folks at Founders. We had them a couple times already. A couple
yes.
of different Founders.
I've been a big fan of the All Day IPA, but this Centennial is pretty nice.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I haven't tried that one yet.
Yeah, pretty solid.
Nice. Yeah, I decided to not go the beer route today. It's my buddy Nick's birthday. Shout out to Nick. I know you're listening. Thank you. He's one of our ski buddies, and I told him I have a little brown stuff for him today. So got a little bit of the Whistle Pig rye whiskey, which is so delicious.
Whistle Pig.
Yeah, a little Whistle Pig. So yeah, so here we are. It's the middle of June. I got to be honest. I am having my seasonal depression is in full effect right now. I am sweating. I'm getting bug bites. I'm getting poison ivy. And I'm ready to go skiing.
I actually haven't had that many bug bites this season so far, which
is
good.
Yeah, I was up in the woods last week and I got eaten alive. Because I have delicious, tasty, sweet blood. And all the bugs were just like all up in my grill.
All up on you.
I had it on my arm, like on my bicep.
That's nasty.
Right where my shirt stop. So it's
so
like
nasty.
It's just getting on there. I'm getting all irritated.
They're like any exposed skin, they're just going to eat you up.
Legs, face, I got hands, I got it everywhere. So my seasonal depression is in full effect right now. So that's why, you know, we're doing this topic extreme, which we have teased a couple times already. We were going to do it a few weeks back. Other topics came up.
Yeah.
But
we reserve the right to push things back, right?
What's more extreme than not talking about what you're going to talk about?
That's extreme.
We break the rules because we are extreme.
That was an extreme move.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Oh, yeah.
We are extreme. So we'll start out. The first part, heliskiing. We're talking about the ski-related stuff first, so heliskiing. We came up with a nice little list of a couple places worth checking out if you want to do some heliskiing.
Yeah, so what are the top places, Brian? I know you looked at a few lists, right? Like one or two lists and kind of put together nuggets that you pulled out of there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big ones was the Alberta Lodge in British Columbia.
Mm.
It's up in Blue River, and that place was awesome. I mean, we were taking a look at it before, and it's not even like you just go there and you heliski for a day or something. I mean, it's like a whole seven-day adventure at that place.
Yeah. So, Mike, it's Mike Wheatley's Alberta Lodge, and we looked this up because I saw this on, it was one of the ski movies that they featured something on there.
One of the Warren Miller ones, right?
One of the Warren Millers, and it looked really awesome. Like, you got your own helicopter, and that's highfalutin. I mean, this is the highfalutin version of it.
That is the highfalutinest thing you can do. So, yeah, you get a personal guide, exclusive helicopter, attentive service, full amenities at this lodge. I mean, it looks awesome.
Yeah. So, the other awesome part of it for the Alberta Lodge is the cost. Now, you're talking soup to nuts, all in, except for your transportation to and from there, which is all right.
You can take a plane from Vancouver, or you could fly a private jet right into the airport, I guess right next, I don't know if it's next door to it or right nearby.
These prices, you know, I'm flying the private jet. Why not?
Seriously. I mean, the prices are, they're totally reasonable.
Yeah. So for 3 days, what do you got?
$4,400 to $5,700 per person for 3 days.
Mm.
Or 7 days.
I definitely got to go 7 days.
7 days, $8,400 to $12,000 per person.
Boom, 12 grand. We're flying in on a private jet.
It's like, you know what? Here's 25 per each, you know, in case we want seconds.
That's right. That's right. We'll do a Dumb and Dumber on that.
We'll do Dumb and Dumber on that.
Yeah, buy out the whole place.
So that place, that was pretty, that's pretty extreme. Other great places to go for heli-skiing, Ogden, Utah. You hit up Powder or Snow Basin. Chalet Bellerin on the France-Italy border. South Lakes in New Zealand. Chugach,
Alaska. Wait, let's back up to New Zealand. So New Zealand. I'm skiing Mordor.
You're skiing Mount Doom.
Mount Doom?
Much. Yes.
That's awesome.
You can ski Mount Doom. You can drop in your ring.
Ah, yeah.
Find it, which is pretty badass.
Can we forge a ring there, skiing like a ski ring?
There could be only one.
How about you forge skis out of Mount Doom?
Actually, there's two, isn't there? One ring to find them.
Oh, how many sets of skis to join them together?
Do you have to throw your skis in there? Ski of the Rings. Lord of the Skis.
But I want the skis of power.
Lord of the Skis.
I want the top skis. I want the skis of power.
Yes.
Like one set of skis to rule all. Or one snowboard. That could happen, too.
That's true.
Or snowblades.
Or snowblades, if you're really going to go extreme, yeah.
That's extreme.
Yeah, so South Lakes, New Zealand, and it's their ski season right about now. Everything just opened last week, so hit that up if you can. Chugach, I think it's how it's pronounced, Chugach, Alaska.
I like it, Chewbacca, Alaska.
Chewbacca. Bighorn Lodge, Revelstoke. So that one we also did a little bit of extra research on.
We got to get out to Revelstoke.
Oh, dude, it looks so beautiful and perfect there. So they have a couple different packages, too. What's cool about that one is, I mean, you don't just go, again, to heli-ski for a day or whatever. You go for like a seven-day package. And you have to rent out. You rent out the whole lodge, like up to 16 people can rent it out. And they have this amazing chef there. They have the private helicopter. What else do they have?
I think we should get, like, you know, book this and then just get people that want to write into the show and do, like, a contest. That'd be kind of a cool contest thing.
I think even better is we should have a ski, highfalutin ski tour, and we can gather people who think they, you know, people who want to do this. We get a group of, like, 16 people, hit up there together, have a kick-ass week.
Do get a band up there?
Get a band. guy with the bagpipes. So, yeah, you can rent out the entire lodge with up to 16 guests over 7 nights. Starts at $65,000 Canadian dollars, which aren't real dollars anyway, so it's not even bad at all.
Sorry, Canada.
Oh, we love you guys. You guys are the best. You're like the better version of America. You're sweeter, you're kinder, you're colder.
Hey.
You know I'm right. So yeah, it's a whole package you get there. Personal chefs, housekeepers. I mean,
you got to have a personal chef.
I mean, how could you not? I mean,
you're skiing balls to the wall all day. You come home, you just want to eat.
Plus, too, you go do something like this. You don't have to deal with the commoners, which is so nice. No cafeterias, no screaming kids.
I guarantee I would eat like 4 meals when I came back.
Oh, they probably have elk. They're just going to catch there, you know, hunt it down, age it for you.
A little trout or something. Salmon.
Beautiful. Yeah. So that's another one. A few others that we were checking out that are worth going to. The Dolomites on the Italy-Swiss border, which you were there, but you didn't heli-ski, but you were...
No, I skied Cortina, and the Dolomites, they've joined them all together with one ski pass, which is kind of cool, but it's a huge region, so there's a ton of places, I'm sure, to heli-ski there.
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, we mentioned Revelstoke, but, you know, as well as all the Canadian Rockies, there's some other great places to heli-ski up there. The Swiss Alps, Verbier to Zermatt, you can do a tour up there, which is pretty awesome. Then Sun Valley, Idaho.
Idaho.
So those are pretty much some of the top destinations for heli-skiing if you want to check that out.
Nice. And then what's the other thing? So we talked about cat skiing too, right?
Yeah, we can do cat skiing.
So you jump in a snow cat. Usually they do like a little carrier to carry all your stuff. And sometimes there are little tours from it. And sometimes just going cat skiing like the whole day. Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's all kind of different ways they do it too, which is pretty cool. Lots of different opportunities, different packages. And
so what are the different types of ways? Because you had mentioned that before.
Yeah, we were doing a little bit of research, and we found this really cool article on Powderhound's site, and they talked about, you know, cat skiing is backcountry skiing where skiers are transported to the top of the run via a cat, which is a large grooming-style machine. The name Snowcat originates from the 1940s trademark of Tucker Snowcat Corporation from Oregon. The brand name became synonymous with all such generic machines, and now they're all known as Snowcats. And one of the things that was cool when we were looking up, you know, doing the research here is that there's different kinds of cat skiing. There's different types based on – there's U.S. cat skiing and there's Canadian cat skiing. And U.S. cat skiing is more of like the single day, go up for the day, do your runs. And while the Canadian version, you know, kind of like the heliskiing packages, it's more of going in the backcountry a couple days overnight, staying in mountain yurts, you know, nice. Way in the backcountry. So,
and you pay in Canadian dollars or loonies, right?
That's right, eh?
Eh?
Get some toonies and some loonies. But yeah, so there's different types. You know, there's the U.S. versus the Canadian. And then, you know, there's the first type, which is more the U.S. type, is the in-resort cat skiing, which sometimes is associated with your lift ticket, or you can pay a special fee where, you know, you take one, two, five, however many runs. And it's usually only a small area because it's in-resort. And some of the best examples of that are Copper Mountain, Powder Mountain, and Keystone out in Colorado. The second type, which is the most common in the U.S., are the ones that are attached to a ski resort, but they're going to a backcountry bowl or two dedicated to cat skiing. So that's more like an Aspen Powder Tour, Chicago Ridge, and they're guided day trips. And they're usually – they start in the $250 to $300 range, can go a little bit higher. But you're pretty much getting exclusive back bowl.
Nice.
You know, terrain, which is pretty awesome.
Without having to do all the walking and the work.
Without having to do all the walking. It's also, I mean, Canada does a lot of that too. I know Revelstoke, a bunch of other ones, they have the cat skiing as well.
Yeah.
And then there's the third type, which is independent standalone cat skiing operations. So you're not really associated with the mountain, but it's like a nearby and it's affiliated with it. So Steamboat Powder Cats, Park City Powder Cats, and Silverton Powder Cats are examples of that. And that means they're near the ski resort. But they're, you know, they can get into really isolated areas.
Like Silverton, I know when I went there, like some people went to Silverton from Telluride, and that was only about an hour bus ride. And then they didn't do the cat tour. They did they have a lift and then they hiked up. But, you know, they did that a bunch of times. But
yeah, that's pretty awesome. And so, you know, one of the nice things about cat skiing is that, you know, you're getting the fresh powder, the backcountry terrain that is often difficult to find in the resort. But it's not as, you know, strenuous as having to hike and you know, go get it to yourself. And they say that, you know, they call cat skiing poor man's heliskiing. But there are some advantages to that. I mean, cat skiing, it's a lot cheaper, which is awesome for, you know, ghetto people, not highfalutin folks like us. But there's some advantages too.
Well, what you say if you get bottle service tonight? I'm just saying, you know, you could trade it off.
Just saying. But there are advantages too. I mean, you know, sometimes helicopters, they're grounded due to the inclement weather. While snowcats, they can still go in and get out there. So you can get your fresh pow, you can rip it up, and still get back without a problem. Not to worry about, you know, flying in a helicopter in crazy ass weather. So there's tons of advantages, and it's friggin' awesome.
If anybody doesn't know by now, Brian has a fascination with snowcats. So he'll take pictures. Oh. Like we'll be skiing, he'll be like, I got to take a picture next to the snowcat. And I'm like, dude, it looks like the last snowcat that you took a picture by.
I have, when we were out in Austria this year, I actually, like a seven-year-old, bought a model snowcat. They have these like piston bully little like metal, you know, toy snowcats. I bought one because it was so cool. And I have it right by my computer next to my Ben Franklin action figure and my Ajax from the Warriors action figure.
And he had to smuggle that in. I don't know where he smuggled it. I don't want to even say.
But I don't even want to talk about how that plow felt. But I got it back, and that's all that matters.
He's got this fascination. So if anybody like has snowcat pictures, I think you just send them to us.
Or
that'd
like
be great.
Spacecraft has that. Their like logo is the snowcat. I freaking love that. I got T-shirts. Spacecraft, if you want to reach out to us, hit us up. We would be happy to have you as a sponsor. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com, SkiBumPodcast.com. Hit us up, please. We love you guys. But yeah,
I think listeners should send in their pictures of them by snowcats. Just for you.
Yes, please.
You love snowcats.
Send in pictures of snowcats, you know, like any of them. Anything you got, send them our way.
If you're a snowcat driver and you want to set up Brian driving your snowcat, that'd be awesome.
And how do you get, is there like a particular license? Do you need like a CDL to drive a snowcat?
I don't know, but I imagine there's something.
We knew somebody whose father drove a snowcat. That seems like
it's like a tractor or something. I mean, I don't know. Do you have to have a special license?
I would think so, yeah. But I guess it's a crazy life, too. I mean, if you're going out in the middle of the night. Like, if you're not doing, like, a snowcat, you know, skiing thing. If you're just doing, like, a grooming mission or a grooming job. I mean, you're out there in the middle of the night, all alone. It's dark.
Well, the best part is you don't realize, too. It's not just driving up. They actually use winches and stuff like that and, like...
Yeah, we've watched that video before. That's
pretty crazy stuff.
There's only a couple different models. I think it's, like, Piston Boy's highest model has the winch on there. that you can tie it onto the tree and they winch themselves and pull themselves up.
Snowcat's a good topic for another.
Snowcat's a great topic. And Piston Bully would be an awesome sponsor as well. Lovely folks at Piston Bully if you want to hook us up.
Look, Snowcats.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we got that's extreme?
Well, we got a couple of different kinds of skiing. There's parachute skiing, which we saw. We're watching a pretty sweet video before that. We'll post up on Facebook and we'll tweet it out. It's a parachute skiing video with Matthias Giraud, known as Super Frenchie.
Super Frenchie.
Where he you see him ski down, and he creates an avalanche, and you can hear it in the background coming. Yes. And you see him kind of like he's flying down this run, and then all of a sudden you see him just have no more snow underneath him, and he launches off this cliff.
It's freaking awesome.
And he's just like screaming. He's like, woo, like yelling. And he looks back, and you see this avalanche just pouring off this cliff. And him and his buddy was, I guess the buddy was parachuting above and behind him. So you have the footage of him going off the cliff, and you see the avalanche coming
down.
It was
so cool. It looked like looked like just water falling off a waterfall.
Yeah.
And that's like a famous video, too, because like, I guess it got viral, and everybody knows it now. And I remember seeing a show on that, and I guess one of the guys that started this sport, or he passed away in an avalanche accident or whatever, an accident doing
that. One of the Red Bull videos we watched, yeah, he was in there.
Yeah, but this guy is still going strong, and it's pretty amazing stuff.
Oh, it's so awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, of course, backcountry skiing. You know, you can do your hiking, you can do it CAT, you can do it HELA. So there's a couple different ways to get in the backcountry, which is getting a lot more crowded these days, but understandable because it's absolutely awesome.
Well, the other thing that's happening, too, with the backcountry skiing is I know there's a lot of people that petition. There's a lot of resorts that used to have backcountry skiing in certain areas that were kind of tame, easy to get to, and then they started putting lifts up there. And that's changed a lot of opinion and added more people to a little bit more backcountry type skiing.
Yeah, isn't Taos, didn't they just add a new lift up there that people were kind of not happy about? Jackson yeah. Hole is yep. Is putting one up by the, what's it called?
Up by Corbett's?
Up by Corbett's, yeah.
And then Telluride, they have an area that they've been, they're still in legal battle about like taking over a certain piece of territory. You start talking to people local and they just go nuts. It's interesting like how like fiery they are about it. So.
Oh yeah, and I know Utah. They were trying to. They proposed this one Wasatch project, which would connect all of Park City with Alta Snowbird, and I think it was Snow Basin. I'm not sure exactly if it was Snow Basin or not, but yeah, one of the or Solitude. So all the big ones in Park City with Alta Snowbird, and they said that would cut into a lot of the backcountry stuff because it would create They have to create special runs that connect it and unique lifts. And they're getting a lot of pushback because of that. That people really don't, and most people don't want that.
Yeah, it's going to change.
It's understandable. Yeah.
It'll change everything.
Yep. So that's pretty much what we got for the extreme ski topic. But we do have other extreme activities.
Extreme.
Did somebody say extreme?
What do you got, Mario?
So I love Red Bull because they got so much like crazy extreme crap on there. I'm on Red Bull all the time. I post a bunch of stuff to the Facebook site, different videos and stuff.
Yeah, if you have Apple TV, definitely check out the Red Bull channel. It's great. There's so much cool stuff. Yeah,
it's free too. Great footage. I cut the cord, so I'm a model citizen of this is how you do things the right way, and I cut the cord. I just have internet, and I got my Apple TV, and Red Bull TV is free. It's great.
Yeah, you introduced me to that, and I can't believe how much awesome stuff they have on there. It's so cool.
And I notice now I go into when I go to out to like sports bars and stuff. A lot of times they'll either rebrand Red Bull TV like so Tilt a Kilt. They'll rebrand it as Kilt TV, but it's Red Bull TV, and then they just throw in hot girl advertisements in between.
Smart.
And I was in somewhere else, and they just had Red Bull TV on. So, like, a lot of, like, places, like sports bars especially, will just put it on, and it's, like, cool stuff.
Remember we were in Telluride we were eating at Brown Dog Pizza, which, amazing. If you're in Telluride, go to Brown Dog Pizza. It is awesome.
It is awesome.
We had we were in that weird back office room.
Yes.
On the second floor.
VIP.
It was pretty much there. I must put it with the staff eats lunch.
It was the manager's office.
It was the manager's office, and we're in this big table, and they gave us the remote for the TV that was in there. And we're flicking through the channels, and I don't know if it was a Red Bull channel or if it was like a Fox Sports or something, Fox Sports 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever, but they had the Red Bull Crushed Ice on.
I showed you that from Red Bull TV.
Is it Crashed Ice or Crushed Ice?
Crashed Ice.
Yeah.
And Brian's an avid hockey player and loves skating, and I keep telling him he should try out because it looks freaking awesome.
If this existed when I was like 12, this would be my sport. This is what I would be doing right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys probably haven't heard of it, like most people haven't. It's almost like the snowcross they have in the X Games, where they have, like, you know, the four snowboarders racing down this like tight track four at a time. But they set up this big ramp, and people wear full hockey gear and ice skates, and they do the same kind of race. There's like
same
jumps.
Thing as snowcross, really.
Yeah, there's jumps, yeah. There's turns. It's absolutely awesome.
But the sick part is they actually make ice like on a hill. So now these people are skating, and they're not skating on a flat. They're skating on like an uphill or a downhill, and it's just crazy
and there's
stuff.
Jumps. I mean, that thing with when you're playing ice hockey, obviously there's no jumps. You know, you're just pretty much on a flat surface, and you're doing your.
You gotta try it one day.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. The problem is there's a very small window of time you can do it. It's got to be cold as hell, and they have to have Red Bull. If it were Red Bull, let's put the time into setting up this track. They do it usually like, what, Quebec City, St. Paul, St. Petersburg, Russia.
All very cold places.
In Scandinavia somewhere? Was it Helsinki maybe?
They changed it. So the year that I saw, they did it. It was mainly Canada and U.S. like on the border. And then they, I think they opened it up, and they do other cities now. So.
What blew my mind is they were showing – you know, St. Paul, Minnesota, and it had to be December, January, whenever. There are tens of thousands of people there watching this. It's got to be minus 10 degrees.
Awesome. The Quebec City one was amazing because they had, like, it went through the city. And, like, here are the city streets, and they set up this, like, crazy frozen track. And it was amazing to see.
That is so cool.
So if you get a chance, Red Bull TV, you got to look at Crashed Ice.
Oh,
so awesome.
Or
you can look it online. I think they have it free. So I saw something on there. They have a... Somebody in Cape Cod, I guess they had icebergs and they had a lot of ice.
That's like Cape Cod, Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, and he was wake skating on ice. So he's got this wakeboard and he's getting pulled by, I think it was, I don't know if they had a winch. They didn't really show what he's getting pulled by, if it was a winch or an actual boat. But it was like all ice everywhere. And he's just jumping on ice and into the water and ice and just like wakeboarding over all this crap.
Yeah, he used like those little chunks of ice for ramps pretty much.
It was
popping up
wild.
On them, yeah.
It was interesting to see.
We'll post the link to you, link to that video on the show notes and Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, and then the other thing I have is another thing on Red Bull, they had the Niagara Falls ice climb. So this dude climbed Niagara Falls because it was so freaking cold in the Northeast that a good chunk of Niagara Falls froze over, and the guy just climbed up the entire falls, and I was like, it was pretty cool looking.
There was one part, where they show him, he's, you know, gets his pick, and he buries it in there, and you just see this massive sheet of ice just fall down.
It's crazy.
Oh,
I used to live up there, and the Niagara River will freeze. You know, parts of it will freeze up, but usually it's pretty free flowing. And to see the falls freeze up like that, I'm like, it had to be freaking cold.
Really cold for a really long time for it to do that. Yeah.
Now, what's the other? What else you got, Brian?
Oh, we got our favorite thing we watched before the podcast. The team fighting championship.
This is nuts.
So, you know, we like watching UFC and MMA and stuff. And I don't know how. Did you find this team fighting championship?
I heard about it and I saw a clip of a video. And then we decided to look it up today. And I was like, this is magic. One of the guys I know that I bike ride with was just like, he was telling me about it. I was like, you know, I saw a clip of that. I didn't know what it was. So,
this has got to be one of the most ridiculous things ever. And it seems to be happening in a lot of the former Soviet republics. So, yeah, well, you watch the video. And
but England
was
in there, too.
England was, and they got trounced.
They said U.S. was in there.
Yeah, but most of the ones that we saw were, you know, Russia, Latvia,
well,
Poland.
That was the final and the semifinal or whatever.
So they usually have this, you know, probably Russian or Polish female announcer, you know, announce the match. And then there's, like, these five or six girls in, like, bikinis.
Oh,
the
sexy dance.
We make you sexy dance for your $20 sexy dance.
Oh, you're so handsome. I'll give you sexy dance.
They do this weird little choreographed
dance.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how I know this.
Yes. Allegedly.
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 I think I've seen stuff on the internet.
And it's funny because the time spent with the introduction and the sexy dance is almost longer than the fights last themselves.
No, it really is. I think it's, like, three times longer.
Yeah. So they introduce the teams. It's 5-on-5, right? It's 5-on-5.
They're just trying to stretch it out to like 15 minutes.
And it's like a giant ring, like a wrestling or boxing ring, but it's probably, what, four times the size?
I was going to say like three or four times the size of a boxing ring,
it's
right?
It's gigantic.
It's square.
And they have the referee, who's like the main big Russian-looking dude with a GoPro on.
There's like five of them.
Well, there's the main guy with the GoPro, and there's like four other referees.
Crazy.
Because what happens is you have this 5-on-5, and they just kind of like... they like yell fight, and the guys all come together in the center. And usually one guy gets his ass kicked, and he like, you know, you can either get beat up and the refs will stop it, or you can tap out or whatever happens. And then that guy will go and help one of his other teammates out beating up some other dude.
He's like free for all. He can do whatever he wants.
And as soon as you lose your first guy, it's pretty much over.
It is mayhem.
It is crazy. I mean, there's
like three guys beating the shit out of one guy. It's just nuts. I'm like, how is this like able to go on?
There was like one guy, he was like stuck in an arm bar, and then he's getting like kicked by two other guys.
The worst is when they start kicking him. I'm like, I can't watch this. It's crazy. It's
brutal. I mean, these matches are over in like a minute.
It is thug life in the ring. It's crazy. It's
brutal. So yeah, after the announcement and then the sexy dance time, those things are twice as long as the actual fights themselves.
Yeah, the fight was what, 2 minutes?
Not even. It's brutal. As soon as you lose your first guy, you're done. You get ganged up on.
It was just nuts. I was like, wow.
Oh, you gotta watch these videos.
And luckily the guys didn't look like they were too beat up.
Oh, there was a few guys. They
got messed up, but it wasn't like, you know, guys definitely gonna die or something.
Yeah,
I mean
you can tap out, the refs will stop it, but it took a lot for the refs to stop.
It's like UFC style, so like the guy has to tap out. So it looks kind of legit, but it's just bizarre. Like, so you get like a 2 or 3 on 1, like UFC. Like, how are you gonna get out of that?
It's brutal. It's absolutely, if you're one of those guys who's getting like, you know, double, triple teamed, forget it. I mean, you can be as tough as you want to be. There's no way you're winning that fight against these monsters. Because the dudes are big, burly, just nasty. And there's no weight classes. It's just a bunch of dudes fighting each other at once.
You're definitely going to see somebody get that ass beat out
of them. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. But
the Poles were the big winners, right?
Yeah, the Polish were freaking running people. They were running house there. They were crushing people. Yeah.
Oh, so the comment that my buddy said to me, he's like, he heard about this and he watched. And I guess there was it was Polish versus versus Russia,
mm-hmm.
and Poland won, and Vladimir Putin actually said something about it, like he was disappointed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Like, I didn't realize this was. It looked like something like should be in a warehouse, an abandoned warehouse. Like, there were no fans. I mean, there was like you heard some yelling of about 10 people, and that was it.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. Like an illegal gambling thing or something. It was just weird.
Yeah, it's like if like Obama was like pissed about, you know, like a Pee Wee hockey tournament.
Yeah,
like the outcome of it. Like, oh, Canada beat us. How's that possible? Yeah, it seemed like, why would the leader of your country be that concerned?
Obama speaks out on the dog race.
Yeah,
really.
Obama disappointed in the second place Kentucky Derby winner.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, so we'll post links to that. I mean, you got to check it out. It's brutal. And kind of along on the same line, there's a movie that came out, a documentary a few weeks or months ago called Dogfight, DAWG-fight.com. It's done by Billy Corbin, the same guy who did The U, the 30 for 30 movie on ESPN about the University of Miami, man. And The U too.
I love 30 for 30. 30 for 30
is great. Those are dynamite. But that is one of the best ones, The U. That's Billy Corbin. He also did Cocaine Cowboys. And this movie, Dogfight, talks about down in South Florida, this backyard brawling is like a big sport down there. And, you know, Kimbo Slice, who went to the UFC,
like bare knuckle fighting, right?
It's like one wrap around your hand, kind of like backyard.
Because UFC, they actually have the protection on the outside, right?
They wear gloves. They wear regular, like, you know, thin gloves, but they're taped up.
They're like martial art gloves, like when they spar, right?
Yeah.
The full contact gloves.
They're not like boxing gloves. They're a lot lighter than that, but they have all the padding over the knuckles, and then they have the wrap underneath
and
it.
And the fingers are free, right?
The fingers are free, which, as they said, is a big problem. And it's good for grappling, but it also a lot of eye pokes that happen because of it. So they're trying to, you know.
I'll poke you right now.
Yeah. So this is just dudes with, like, one piece of tape around their knuckles, and they just beat the crap out of each other.
It's crazy.
Like some, it's like Fight Club. Backyard ring. It's very Fight Club-like.
Wow.
So, that's pretty extreme, so check that out.
So we'll, they did that with 5-on-5. Now you have me as a viewer.
Yeah, what do those guys have on in that in the team fighting? Did they have, they had gloves on, right? Like kind of like UFC?
I don't even think they have Pride on, let's put it that way.
Ugh. They had uniforms, though.
They did have
they
uniforms.
They had legit uniforms, yeah. And I think they had kind of like UFC.
Yeah, they did have something.
Fighting gloves, yeah.
It seemed very UFC-like.
Yeah, just with a lot of dudes at one time.
But not sponsored by you. There was no Joe Rogan.
There was no Joe Rogan, so that means it's ghetto.
It's ghetto.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll post links to all this stuff. You got to check it out. It's some crazy-ass stuff.
It was hilarious. We watched it for a while.
So, yeah. We'll post it all, and you guys can check it out. And let us know what you think of it, because it's definitely extreme. All right. So what do you say? We covered everything that's extreme for now. What do you say we go around the horn?
It's around the horn time.
That's some around the horn music right there, if I've ever heard.
It is. So what do you got, Brian?
All right. Let's start out. So I saw this thing on TechCrunch, and they are make your own like Wolverine claws. Wolverine claws, which are pretty awesome. So it's almost like a gauntlet you put over your, you know, your hand and your forearm, and it's got a couple probes that go into your arm, and when you flex your arm, it deploys this Wolverine claw.
Wow.
And if you hold it for 2 seconds, it locks it out. And then if you hold it again for 2 seconds, it retracts again.
So if you're at Starbucks getting coffee and you do it by accident, like you're poking your own Starbucks, aren't
someone's going to die.
So,
and that's just the price you pay for being awesome, having Wolverine claws.
That's right.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know? There is no creation without destruction.
Let's say someone's chasing you. You have the Wolverine claw. Now you're ready to throw down.
You're going to destroy. Who's going to chase you down? They're going to chase you once.
That's right.
And they're going to learn a valuable lesson.
And then you're scratching and clawing and thrusting. It's good.
It's awesome. So we'll post a link on that. You guys got to check it out. It's really cool.
So would that be allowed in the team fighting championship?
I don't know what's not allowed in the team fighting championship.
They should like throw a chair in there or something. That'd be great.
Throw a chair in.
It's like a cage match.
Yeah.
I can't get that out of my mind.
All right. What do you got?
I posted something to Facebook, The Martian, which is coming out in November.
I read the book last year.
Did you?
Fantastic, yeah.
Looks like a great movie. Matt Damon, bunch of other like really good actors and actresses in it. Looks great. I threw the trailer up on Facebook, but everything is turning up Mars right now. Yeah. Everything, they got Mars One. There's Mars is the next thing.
Mars is very hot right now.
Yeah. Mars is the new black.
Mars is the new black. Speaking of that, yeah, Orange is the New Black just came out, season 3 on Netflix.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. I
haven't watched that yet.
I'm all caught up, so.
Nice. Yeah, I got one. This was on Uncrate's website. They have this pretty sweet amphibitruck.
Amphibitruck?
Amphibitruck.
So you're not amphibious that you can shoot with both hands.
Or you're like that pitcher. I guess, I don't know if it was on the Oakland A's. The USA Today posted that the A's sign, like amphibious pitcher.
He's amphibious.
And it shows him throwing with both arms.
Does he have gills or something?
Yes, I believe he does. So for underwater baseball games, he's unstoppable.
That's great. If it's a rain delay, he's ready to go.
Yes. So this amphibitruck, it's by a company named Gibbs, and it gives you this 4x4 truck that's also able to travel 30 miles an hour in the water, and it switches between these modes with a touch of a button.
That's awesome.
Available in two models, the capable Humdinger and the larger Phibian. They're ideal for rescue missions, owners of private islands, or people that really, really hate bridges.
Or people that are pissed off at the traffic going to the shore or out to the island. You're driving down the road. You're just like, screw traffic. I'm out.
If you could somehow
through,
like,
boom, right in.
Launch off the GW.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be
you're
so
on the tap
awesome.
And Z, you're just driving right
freaking
off.
Freaking Verrazano.
What happened to that guy? You're just like waving to them. Screw you guys.
Yeah. That thing's awesome. So again, we'll post that link. Mario, what do you got?
So Kickstarter. I like the commercial. There's a product that's called Oktoberfist. Now, Oktoberfist.
Yes, and F-I-S-T.
It is a drinking glove for the people that need drinking gloves. Now,
yes. Well, I mean, haven't you been in a situation where maybe your grip is not solid or, you know?
Now, I've gone to beer gardens in this country. I've been in Germany. Been to the beer gardens there, and you know the liter of beer is pretty damn heavy.
The glass itself is heavy.
Yeah, so
you
I could
put
see
beer in there.
This is like more of a stabilizing
wrist, almost like a bowling glove.
Yes,
wrist reinforcement.
But there's other stuff in it. It looks just like a classical.
The lederhosen.
Lederhosen.
Yeah, it uses a lot of the styling, the color,
and it has a pocket.
Has a built-in pocket, kind of on your forearm, right?
Yeah.
You can kind of keep your cash and...
Because if you're drinking, you want to have everything right there, you know, and handy, so...
That's true. You don't have to carry a sport coat or a fanny pack, perhaps.
But definitely look at the commercial. I don't know if you want to support it. They're not doing that well.
No, they're getting crushed right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're gunning for, what, $30,000, and I think they have, like, $6,000?
With $20,000, they have $6,000.
Yeesh.
And I think they have 6 days left, so...
Yikes.
Unless somebody's going to write a big check because they believe in this thing, I don't know.
It could be their – well, I mean, their timing could be a little bit off. That's the problem. Like, you think if you were getting – if you were close to Oktoberfest, they might get more, but then you won't be able to get the glove until after Oktoberfest. So it's kind of that tricky position.
But they are trying to market it almost to like not Oktoberfest. It's everything else, too.
It's like an all-around drinking glove.
They show the person in the tuxedo with the – with the Oktoberfest glove on.
Yeah. It's a good look.
Yeah.
Like James Bond would definitely wear an Oktoberfest.
That's
having
right.
a martini.
Excuse me, guys, I got to go back into the apartment. I got to get my Oktoberfest glove. I got to get my glove to drink.
Now, if they could only combine the Wolverine claws with the Oktoberfest.
I think you could put those together and make...
Kickstarter crossover. That could be a whole website.
We should start another Kickstarter crossover.
Kickstarter website. Crossover combining different projects that maybe... Boom. Separate, it's like 1 + 1 = 3 on Kickstarter
it.
Crossover.
I love it.
Yeah, that's how we roll over here.
You can get the glove with the Wolverine things and the Oktoberfest thing
mm-hmm.
and skis.
Why not? Why not? Who can stop you?
You can't stop progress.
That's true.
Now, what would be even better is if it was made on Mars. Then I'm buying it. It's because it's made on Mars.
Some sort of Martian leather.
Hey, I don't care if it's Mars. M-A-R-S.
Mars, bitches. another thing that I had, Sons of... So, I don't know if any of you guys watched Sons of Anarchy. It was a great show.
Don't we?
They just finished up last year. The final season. I found this website. It's called soatattoostories.inc. And, you know, it's hosted by Kurt Sutter, the founder of Sons of Anarchy, the head writer, founder. And what it does is it kind of talks about all the different tattoos that all the the different members in the show had. And what's also cool about it is it kind of gave a little bit of backstory on like what the tattoos mean and why they chose it. They talked to some of the tattoo artists, how they created them. And to me, one of the coolest things was they showed the makeup artists from the show and how they had to apply those tattoos every week. So, you know, the first guy they show is Jax, obviously, the president. And they showed, they had all these different pictures from every angle of, you know, of him and where to place the tattoo so it's identical every time. So, you know, the Reaper that he had on his back, there would be like little freckles and they would be like, okay, this corner of the tattoo matches that freckle and the one on the bottom matches here. So they would get the exact same look every time, which, I mean, it's amazing because they look so real and so legit. So it's
I know some
cool.
girls that would love to put tattoos on Jax.
He's a handsome man. I mean,
every week I know a few girls that I could.
Plus two, he's got a British accent. I mean, that's not even fair.
They melt.
That's not even fair.
That's not fair.
So yeah, we'll post that link too. It's really cool. It's worth checking out. Even if you don't like the fan, if you've never seen the show, I mean, then it probably means nothing to you. So don't see it then. But it's got some cool information and.
It's a good show, except for the season in Ireland. Didn't like it.
Nobody liked.
Nobody
that.
Did.
That season was terrible.
That almost killed the franchise.
It almost did. Yeah. So you got anything else?
No. Other than watching the Stanley Cup and trying to enjoy the summer.
Yeah.
Doing my bike riding now. It's good.
Okay, nice. Oh, there is one more thing we got. We got Barry the Blader.
Oh, how could we forget about
that? How do you forget
that?
Barry the Blader?
That, I was like, we got to throw that on. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's about this quote-unquote fake professional snowblader. And he's showing his life out in Lake Tahoe. And, he's kind of a... He thinks he's awesome, but he's kind of a douche. It's a spoof. And it was done for the 5th annual Payne McSchlonky Classic, which is a tribute to Shane McConkie. They do this every year out in Squaw. And it's pretty funny. It's worth checking out.
It's pretty hilarious. Yeah, so Brian will put the video on there. You got to watch it. It's funny. And then that brought up another conversation. So now, the last few years, we've seen more people with snowblades. And even this year, I saw the most people with snowblades, I think, since the 80s. And... It just brought up a conversation, like, is this coming back? Is it still, like, a cult following? Like, you know, where do snowblades fit into the ski board gear?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, I don't know. Personally, I have no desire to snowblade. But
this year, though, we saw in Telluride and a lot in Killington.
I actually, last year, up at Mount Snow, skied with a guy in snowblades. And... Again, I was a little embarrassed to be with him. I mean, he was kind of a dork to begin with. I mean, it was a friend of a friend kind of thing. And he had jeans on, too. which is like the Jersey double whammy right there.
But if you have snowblades, you might as well go full jeans.
You have to.
You might as well.
Yeah.
And no helmet, of course.
Yeah. And like, you know, of course, his big thing, I'm like, well, how do you like the snowblades? He's like, well, they're awesome in the trees. I'm like, well, so are skis. Like real full-length skis. So.
But how do you know till you try it? See.
And being a skater, a hockey, you know, hockey player, I think I would have a lot more control and they would probably feel very natural to me. But, you know.
Snowblade demo day.
Snowblade
You'd
demo day.
You'd probably be on the terrain park tearing it up.
Oh, ripping and tearing.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably.
Yeah. Like flipping around and.
But, you know, and some people, I get, I mean, it does, you look at people doing it and it does look kind of funny. But, you know what? People do it. They like it. Who am I to say anything about that, you know?
Some people like snow tubing, too. They get out there. They do it.
Some people ski. Some people board. Them. Some people snowblade. You know what? You're getting out there. You're having a great time. What does it really matter?
Exactly.
Do your thing. Make yourself happy. Have fun.
I just want to, because we saw a couple. We saw a guy and a girl snowblade. And I was like, wow, this is like, I think I might be missing the boat now. I might have to snowblade.
I wonder if they had like a snowblade wedding cake.
That'd be kind of cool. That's like a match made. Like if you could find if you're a guy or a girl that snowblades and you find the, you know, partner that snowblades, you're like, wow, this is great.
Is there like a snowblade Tinder kind of app?
Snowblade meetup.
Snowblade meetup. That's yeah, right. Look at that.
Meetup at the lodge, the Grand Lodge.
But the girl's like, I'm just a snowblading gal looking for a snowblading guy.
I'm a snowblade freak.
Get them dangling over your shoulder. You're like, what's up, girl? You blade, I blade. We can blade together.
A family that blades together stays together.
That's what I've heard.
That's what I've heard.
That's the word on the street.
You know where I'd snowblade? Mars.
Mars. I that's where it's going to be. That could be the epicenter of the snowblade universe.
You snowblade right on the Mars, you know. There's big mountains there. Why not?
There is. Bigger than Everest.
I'm going to look into like the possibility of it's terraformed, so there's water in there. Now, if it's frozen water, is it good snowblade condition? It might be. Might be ideal for snowblading.
It's probably perfect.
Just thinking.
Yeah, I like it. One other little thing, one little nugget that I found was found this picture. It's got to be from the 60s. And they say it's the original GoPro. And it's this guy. He's got this helmet on. And he has this massive, giant, like, I don't know if it's like a three-lens camera that's the size of his head one side and then a battery on the other side. It's just this massive, like, Star Wars character-looking helmet.
It's like the old-fashioned camcorder, like, duct-taped to your head with, like, a big battery duct-taped to the other side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that guy has, like, 30 different kinds of brain cancer from all that, like, battery radiation going through his head right there. It's
crazy.
But it's pretty sweet. So I'll post that link, too. It's a good for a couple of yucks.
Oh, awesome. All right, well.
I think that's all we got, right?
Yeah, my cup is empty right now.
Yes, my cup is empty as well. And we have, since we're doing this on a Saturday, we got a Stanley Cup final to watch. We've got a UFC pay-per-view to go watch. So,
unfortunately, it's not team fighting championship.
I know, it's just this amateur poser one-on-one kind of nonsense.
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know if I could watch one-on-one fighting now.
Well, it's like one-on-one hockey. Like, how lame would that be? Who would want to watch that?
That would be kind of cool.
You need
actually.
A team. Yeah. So it's just like the UFC is kind of like a lame version of the team fighting
the
championship.
The best part of the team fighting is like the one guy gets wiped out, and then it's like a power play.
They got an extra man. It's a team fighting power play.
Yeah.
All right. So
like
I think
a two-minute team power play. It's crazy.
To the death.
Crazy. To the death.
A power play to the death. It is.
I really think they should throw like a chair or something in. And if you're shorthanded.
Who's shorthanded?
Yeah.
You can like ice. You can clear the guy or something.
A club. It could be like, I don't know. be like Running Man. They just throw weapons in there or something. It's crazy. That's what it's getting to.
Come and get me, Christmas tree.
That's the next step. Where does it end?
The sport will evolve to that, that's right. I believe. So, yeah, that's all we got this week, everybody. You know how to check us out, SkiBumPodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, Highfalutin Ski Bum, Twitter, Ski Bum Podcast. Or send us emails, send us feedback, send us snowcat pictures, send us...
Snowcat pictures. Brian wants snowcat pictures.
I want snowcat pictures. You can do it at skibumpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to help us and you know, be part of this highfalutin ski bum trip, we want to plan one of these badass trips out to, you know, Big Horn out in Revelstoke or something.
That'd be great.
We're going to hook that up one of these days.
Hook it up.
One of these days. Everyone else, thank you so much again for listening. We appreciate it. Love you guys. And we will talk to you next week.
Stay high and stay flutin'.
That's right. Love you guys.